This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's get ready to wrestle!
Yes, indeed. Final hour of power on a Monday afternoon. Always have to get ready to wrestle. Thanks to Mike Rome, WWE, which we stole from his Instagram. Borrowed. We're not technically stealing anything. We're just borrowing it to make a little bit better radio and to provide a little bit of a different sound. Coming up, dum-dum of the day. You're never going to believe this one. It has something to do with pee and a hot pot.
Okay.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. Jim Bowden also expected to give us a call after his visit to Nats camp. Let's get back to it, picking games at random with Mark in Largo right here on the Team 980. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. To be honest with you, I'm not really into the – I'm still overflowed with the Commanders a little bit. I probably will get into it a little bit. I'm a Hoyas fan, and I do kind of like the turf. So I'll probably get more into it on Wednesday.
Matt,
I did want to ask you,
Max is apologizing because you follow the Hoyas. That's not nice.
It's not a great year.
He's just feeling a little braggadocious because his team made it.
No, I had to watch those same games. It hurt me too.
Wizards fan. When you are a Wizards fan, it doesn't get any worse than being a Wizards fan.
That's
a Hoyas fan
great
is bad.
Point.
It's not as bad as being a Wizards fan.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Although
I
the last, you know,
that.
Listen, the last month the Wizards are playing really competitive basketball.
That is true. That is true.
Which is pissing off a lot of their fan base, but it's making me happy.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, let me ask you this, Chris. Look, I think it's evident. I was telling Max when I called. I said what the Bengals did was they pretty much lowered their chances of Trey getting traded. I think he's not going to get traded, and I think that's probably where we're going to go at. And I want to commend you. I know I call you every time I call you, and I'm jumping on you about something, but here's the one thing I can commend you on, Chris.
Yes.
Is when you hear something, you don't usually go for the bite on an apple. Could you educate some of your colleagues to be that way?
What do you mean by that?
Like JP Finley, my God! I mean,
I love JP Finley. What did he do now?
It's just JP was all over Twitter this morning. Oh yeah, we're going to get Trey. They're going to trade for him. We're going to do a trade for this. They're going to do a trade for that. And I'm like, JP, this is what you don't understand. And this is why the Commanders – I don't know why the Commanders haven't done this already either. When the Bengals have signed both Higgins and Chase, they lowered their cap number to sign Henderson.
For this year, they've lowered their cap number significantly.
Right, for this year, and they can readjust it at years go.
Yeah.
That's not a problem for them. They can readjust it. It's not a problem. But more likely, Trey's not going to get traded.
Well,
the question
for me becomes not whether they can make all the numbers work. Eventually, they'll be able to make numbers work. Moving things around, the cap continues to go up, so do player costs. But they'll be able to move things around enough. The question for me, two things. One, do they want to pay Trey Hendrickson $35-plus million a year? You just heard Jeff in Vienna, who's a Bengals fan, say he doesn't stop the run. He runs straight for you know, all this stuff, right? The defense has not been good the last 2 years, despite the fact that he's had 17 and a half sacks in each of the last 2 years. Now, the other part of it is this, like, what exactly are they asking for, right? Because the reports have been all over the place. Initially, somebody leaked to one reporter that they were looking for a late second, early third, and people were like, really? That's it? Oh, I'd make that move in a heartbeat. Then all of a sudden they started circulating through Rappaport and Diana Rossini and whatnot that they were looking for a high-value pick and probably a first-round pick. So we don't know where the trade compensation package is right now. So if you've got to pay, and here's my problem with the Commanders, it's not just that you have to pay Trey Hendrickson $35-plus million, which is about $5 million more per year, at least, on average, in my opinion, based on when this first started 2 weeks ago, because Myles Garrett's deal wasn't done, and neither was Ja'Marr Chase. But then on top of that, you've got to pay whatever the compensation package that you feel is fair, that they feel is fair. Now, again, that could be a second-round pick. That could be a first-round pick. That could be it can't be next year's second-round pick because you've already given that away. It can be next year's first-round pick, but how much lower is the pick going to be next year versus this year? So, I mean, there's all sorts of things. So I don't think by any means it's a shoe-in in any way that they're getting Trey Hendrickson, or should.
Well, here's my problem, and this is what I was telling Max, and this is where I think he realized what I was saying is true. The easiest position on the defensive side of the ball to play is to rush the passer.
Yeah.
Especially when you have an offense like the Bengals. Of course, they're going to be ahead in a lot of games, so the easiest thing for him is going to be rushing the passer. That's why I say getting Dante Fowler, you can get anybody to get Dante Fowler when you have an offense that's putting up points. A lot of teams are going to be behind.
No, that's fair.
Let me finish, Nat. I know you're going to correct me and tell me that I'm wrong, you Mr. Virgo person, you. And in a sense, you know, that's where they got hurt at when they played Philadelphia. Here's my thing. If you're Washington, I think you should just wait until 29 and get an edge rusher who does play the run. There's nothing wrong with that because if you pay someone $35 million, he's going to start appreciating once he gets in year one, two or three of that deal.
Yeah, that's ideal. Listen, real quickly, I need you to pick a couple of games for me. I know you said you weren't that into it, but you don't have to be that Listen to me. Real quickly, I got to go. Missouri Drake, 6-11, Thursday night. Go.
Drake.
All right, Drake, you're going with the upset. All right, Texas Tech, the 3 seed, and UNC Wilmington, the 14 seed in Wichita. Texas Tech. All right, got you down. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. We'll let you run. We'll take a timeout. Jim Bowden expected to give us a call in just a couple of minutes. He was at Nats camp for SiriusXM. Last week, we will talk to him about the Nationals and more on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome back. All the March Madness, we've been covering it all. Time to turn our attention to the Nationals, who are here on the Team 980 tomorrow night. 6 o'clock against the Houston Astros. How you can listen to the Nationals. And, of course, opening day about a week and a half or so away. And baseball will open up this week between the Cubs and the Dodgers, the defending World Series champions. Joining us right now is former Major League Baseball general manager and, of course, Nationals executive Jim Bowden. He's a host on SiriusXM's MLB Network radio channel. He's been out on the road for SiriusXM's MLB Spring Training Tour, recently hosted an episode with Eduardo Perez from Nationals camp that I listened to yesterday. You can hear that show, as I did, anytime on demand on the SiriusXM app. And Jim Bowden joins us now on the Team 980 in D.C. Hey, Jim, it's Chris Russell. Good to talk to you again. How you been?
Doing great, Chris. Great to be back on your show.
Absolutely. Wonderful to have you. So I listened to the podcast, like I mentioned, and I believe I just wanted to start a ballpark figure. I think you said you thought maybe 75 wins. I know Pecota is a little bit lower than that. I think 68, and somebody else had it in right around 70. They've won 71 each of the last 2 years, meaning the Nationals. 75 wins seems like a reasonable number. Would that be, in your opinion, with the kind of loaded young, or I should say with the kind of young talent that they're now have in the lineup, would that be a little bit of a disappointment, or is that a reasonable jump up from 71 to 75, just say?
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable jump. You know, I think there's some questions in the back of the starting rotation, right? Because some of the pitching prospects like Cade Cavalli and Susanna, they're just not major right. league ready yet, although Cavalli should get there halfway through the season. But, you know, I think from a pitching perspective, and the other thing that really hurts the Nationals is you're in one of the toughest divisions in baseball, right? Because you've got the Phillies, the Braves, and the Mets, all of whom not only can win the division, but all of them are capable of going to the World Series and winning the World Series. So that's the kind of division you're in. So, you know, a team that would be closer to 500 in a normal division, like if you put the Nationals in the Central Division of either the American or National League, it's a team where you could see the pathway of getting to 81 and 81. But being in that particular division with those extra games against the East obviously makes it a little bit more difficult. But look, I came away with a real positive feeling for the first time in several years in Nationals camp. I'm in love with the top three guys in the batting order. C.J. Abrams, let's start there. I mean, look, he's gained 20 pounds of strength. Yeah. I mean, he looks extremely strong and just as fast. You know, I've said this before. Last year we saw 20 homers, 31 steals. I won't be surprised if it's 25 homers, 26 homers, and 40 steals. That would not surprise me with him. And I think the lesson he learned last year hanging out at the casino in the morning, I think was something that was a wake-up call for him that will be helpful in his maturity. Dylan Cruz, you know, look, he didn't have the first cup of coffee that he wanted in the big leagues, right? We get that, but this guy screams 20 homers, 20 steals, and screams Gold Glove caliber right field, and screams that he'll be in the Rookie of the Year conversation. And then, of course, James Wood, who I love Mike Rizzo's comment to me on the podcast you're referring to, when he said that he makes the same sound and noise that Daryl Strawberry did off the bat. And for a kid with his frame and his size to be able to spit on balls out of the strike zone as well as he does at a young age is really a special attribute. So I'm real excited, especially about the top three guys in their lineup.
All right, a couple of things I want to jump on there. Jim Bowden, nice enough to join us there. You mentioned the Strawberry comment from Rizzo. I grew up on Long Island, so I saw Strawberry from the time he was, you know, a rookie. And we all know he had some personal issues, but we all know prodigious power, all that. Wood strikes me as a better, from what I remember, Jim, and you correct me if I'm wrong, a much better base runner than Strawberry. I mean, they both have prodigious power, but Wood can really carve up space on the base paths.
Yeah, I don't think Wood's a good comp for Strawberry outside of the sweet spot contact noise that Mike was referring to. So I don't think he was comparing Strawberry with Wood, because I don't think that's a fair comp. And it's interesting that you brought up the comp idea, because Eduardo Perez and I kept trying to figure out who is the best comp for him, because we couldn't come up with one. Mike Rizzo really didn't either, and neither did Dave Martinez, for that matter.
Yes,
right?
I remember you guys asking him about that. Right, you're right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a unique combination. But look, I like the fact that he's got his position on left field now, right? We don't have to worry about if he's going to play center, right? Mm-hmm. You got your spot. It's going to be left. So he can live there. This guy screams 30 home runs, right? He screams 370 on base. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a star player. And what I love about him is slow heartbeat, composure, poise, nothing phases him. He's got that special professional demeanor. And that really historically relates into being steady and consistent as a performer. So it's going to be fun to watch him develop this year in D.C. for sure.
From an executive standpoint, one more on Wood, is it easier or better in your mind that he's playing left and he doesn't have to deal with a more difficult position in center where you got a space gobbler and Jacob Young, and then right with Dylan Cruz, as you mentioned, who's really a natural center fielder and a gold glove type? Is it easier and maybe freeze him up a little bit more mentally at the plate and to be a bigger factor that way because he doesn't have to play as difficult of a position defensively, or does that not factor in?
I don't think it's going to factor with him. I think he can play all three outfield positions, but I think Washington has them aligned the way they should, right? Because Cruz can be a gold glove caliber right fielder. Jacob Young already is in center, and you got Robert Hassel, the second coming, who's having a great spring, by the way. I saw him really swinging the pole like I did with San Diego. Nats fans haven't seen it yet because he's been injured since he's gotten there. But this guy can flat out rake. And so, you know, they've got it lined up perfectly. They, you know, I think that when Hassel's ready, and it'll probably be 2026 or September of this year, it's going to be cruising right, Hassel and center, Wood left, and you're going to forget about the outfield. That what's going to be interesting to see is how quick Mike Rizzo and the Lerner family try to tie these guys up with long-term deals.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't get them early, you saw what happened with Harper. You saw what happened with Soto.
Yep.
You saw what happened with Turner. And hopefully, lesson learned, don't wait until they do it.
But can you do that, Jim, with the Boris group? If those guys specifically don't go to them and say, we want to sign long-term deals like a Keibert Ruiz did?
Well, look, it's a great question. And, you know, there's certain guys that won't do it. Abbey Rutschman didn't do it, right? With Baltimore. So there are some guys that just aren't going to do it, but you have to find out.
Right.
It's really hard for a young kid when you put $100 million in front of their face.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And you have the risk of injury or you have a risk of failure. It's really hard to say no.
Yeah, you're right.
You leave a lot of money on the table. I get it. But the minute you wait until Wood and Cruz become what they're going to become, we know what's going to happen. And then you're not going to be able to sign them. And if you do, who knows what it's going to be? I mean, Soto changed the market at 765. Guerrero's going to get between 500 and 600, no matter what, right? So everything is changing quick and fast. You know, when Juan Soto turned down $450 million from Mike and the Lerners, right, who would have known he would end up getting $315 million more if he just waited 3 years?
Yeah.
So you get to the point where close the deal when you can. I would not wait until Wood and Cruz do it. I'd try to sign both those guys right now.
Certainly a good point, and certainly something that they dropped the ball on, no doubt about it. Jim Bowden, SiriusXM. Also, Jim writes for The Athletic, does tremendous work, and you did a report card, offseason report card, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and you gave the Nationals a C+, and obviously went through all of the deals. And you listed, and I agree with you, Nathaniel Lowe, A, for his power, B, for his gold glove potential and gold glove ability at first base. I mean, like, they didn't pay a lot for him. So, like a lot of people around here, Jim, as you probably know, are very unhappy with the Learners that they didn't spend a lot of money. But I actually think they made some crafty moves in February and maybe early in March, or more like late January, February, here to add to this team, even if it wasn't big name splashes or big contract splashes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that I thought they would go out and get one impact free agent this offseason, mm-hmm. and then one impact next offseason. And the reason I thought they were going to do that is that when they signed Jason Worth, they weren't ready to sign a free agent. They did it a year before they really should have.
You're right.
And it worked out and ended up in a world championship. So I just kind of figured they would just go back to that same blueprint, which is we'll bring up a young player each year and we'll sign a free agent each year, and then you're ready to win in 3 years. But I think a couple of things happened to them in talking to the executives there with the Nationals. A couple of things happened. Number one, the last time they did this, they didn't have three powerhouses in their own division that had the nucleuses locked up for the next several years, which has to play into it. And the other thing is, they really didn't have the free agent on the market that made sense for them, right? Mm-hmm. Pete Alonso, sure, he's a 40-homer, 100-RBI guy, but Mike Rizzo doesn't like the defense at first base, so that wasn't going to fit. Anthony Santander is a corner outfielder. Well, you've got Cruz and Wood, so that's not a fit. So I think part of the reason why they didn't jump back in is I'm not sure that free agent was there for them. So I think there was an outside chance they still might have if the right guy was there for them, and I don't think that opportunity came. So waiting another year, I don't think we can criticize, because look, if Abrams, Cruz, Wood can do what we think they can do, and they get a Luis Garcia, or by the end of the year they get a Hassel, or they get a Cavalli, or a couple other things fall in place for them, they're going to be in a strong position next offseason to maybe, instead of signing one big free agent, maybe they go sign two, because they're going to have the payroll flexibility to do it as long as they can figure out their TV streaming deal.
Yeah, well, that's a whole, and the stadium naming rights, which they haven't done, the jersey patch, all that. So they haven't helped themselves enough in that regard. Former Major League Baseball general manager, Nationals executive Jim Bowden, host, of course, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. He's recently in West Palm with the Nationals. You can check out he and Eduardo Perez in a one-hour podcast anytime on demand on the SiriusXM app. Also check him out in The Athletic, nice enough to give us a few minutes here. So you mentioned talking to Rizzo, talking to Davey. They are notoriously positive. Do you think either one of them, if this team for whatever reason doesn't make the turn this year and say get 75 to 78 wins, is in any sort of trouble? Or do you think that they are the mantle holders, if you will, of this franchise for at least this year and more still?
Yeah, I think they're here for this year and more. I do. I don't think owners are going to have expectations outside of all the numbers you just said. I don't care if it's 70 to 75 wins. The owners haven't gone out and committed the free agent dollars that they did the last time. So look, they're still in development mode. And, you're not going to sit there and go this far down the path and then make a change there. And they also know that, look, these are the two guys that won you the world championship, in 2019. That isn't forgotten. And they're going on a similar blueprint that won the last one. So, I think continuity and stability is one of the best ways to go in terms of leadership. I think that's something the Learners believe in on the business side of things, and I think they've shown it here on the baseball side of things. So I think stability and continuity in the front office and on the field staff will continue with their leadership group.
One more, if you don't mind, Jim. You mentioned the NL East and the quality of opponents, and you're certainly right. I mean, Atlanta adds Profar. They get Acuna back at some point here. The Mets, obviously, with Soto, but they've got a ton of injuries already. Who am I forgetting about? The Phillies didn't really do all that much, but you know what they're capable of. Who are you leaning to here on March 17th in the NL East?
Yeah, so the way I have it lined up today, subject to change tomorrow, I've got the Phillies at the top just because I think they're starting pitching 1-6, and I'm including Lizardo at 5 and Andrew Painter at 6. I think their starting pitching is the best in the division, and when you have teams that have similar offenses, I'll put a little more weight on the starting pitching. So I'm going to have the Phillies winning by a game or two. I've got the Braves in second, although today my eyebrows went way up, both of them, not just one, when Spencer Strider punched out 5 in a row.
Yeah, I saw that.
And looked like the Strider of old. If Strider is the Strider of old and Acuna is anywhere close to the MVP guy of 2 years ago, then I would flip-flop probably and have Atlanta 1, Philadelphia 2. You know, look, the Mets are going to be really fun offensively, right? They really are. The lineup's really good, really deep, and they have the it factor in the clubhouse. It's special. It's a group that's special. It's a family atmosphere at the highest level. It's like the Dodgers clubhouse. It's very unique. Those two clubhouses are the best in baseball right now by a significant amount. But I worry about the starting pitching, right? I mean, Manaea's already out with the oblique, right? Montas is already out with a shoulder.
Yep.
They didn't do a lot of moves in the offseason in terms of rotation.
They lost their
and
catcher
the
for 6 to 8 weeks.
The setup reliever of last year, Clay Holmes, is the opening day starter.
Yep.
So I got them in third because of it, but I'm putting all three NL East teams in the playoffs.
Man, if they finish in third, there are going to be a lot of frustrated Mets fans, even if they squeeze into the playoffs. I lied. Last one thing for you. The Diamondbacks added Corbin Burns. We know they made a great run to the World Series 2 years ago. Last year did not go as well. But the Dodgers, right, you think, oh, they won the World Series again. And they're going to take a step back. No, they didn't. Go out and add Blake Snell. Like, the Dodgers, like, how do you contend with that?
They're the best team in the world, and they should be called the World Dodgers, not the Los Angeles Dodgers. And to your point, they added two number one starters.
Yeah.
The world champion Dodgers, Blake Snell and Roky Sasaki, are both number one aces. They added both of them. And, by the way, two impact closers in Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates, and brought Trinan back.
Yeah.
And added another 20 home run bat in Michael Conforto, who you're familiar with. I mean, so you got the world champions that added two aces, two impact closers?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I mean, just stop.
I guess you would say hand them the trophy now, but that's the great thing about baseball is you don't know how many of these guys are going to get injured and who's going to do what. And, you know, Snell has certainly had some issues, from time to time. But, I mean, he's great when he's right. And obviously they paid him to be right. Jim, I have so many other questions about the American League we didn't get to, but I'd love to have you back on at some point soon when we can work it out. Thank you so much for doing this. Great job on the coverage from Nationals camp and obviously all throughout Major League Baseball on the Athletic Sirius XM. Thanks so much again for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You got it. That is Jim Boat. Again, Sirius XM, Major League Baseball and Network Radio. You can check out the podcast from West Palm Beach on the Nationals anytime on demand on the Sirius XM app. Appreciate him for doing that. Good spot there, Nationals. Yeah, I mean, I might be a little bit more bullish on the Nationals than I think Pecota had them at 68 wins. Yeah, I remember when the odds makers 2 years ago had them at 58 wins. Get lost. I mean, go kick all the rocks. Those people know nothing. Nothing. They don't know more than the rooster, baby. 334, Team 980 on the Odyssey app. We'll come back. Alex Ovechkin scored another goal this weekend. Ho-hum, you'll hear it straight ahead.
And Ovechkin getting a shot blocked. Now the shot, they score! And Ferravari puts it in from the outside. I think it was tipped by Alex Ovechkin. Redirected, Ovechkin gets goal 887 on a tip of a Ferravari shot. And that's what they came to see. A standing ovation from so many in red. Alex Ovechkin is one closer. 887, his first on the California trip. It's 5-1 Washington.
Yeah, 887. That means, in case you're counting, boys and girls, what uniform number does Alex Ovechkin wear? Say it with me. Eight. Eight! That means he's eight away. Eight away. And tomorrow night, the Capitals come home against the Detroit Red Wings. And then Thursday, they're against Philadelphia at home. And then Saturday, a game that your boy is going to be at.
Wearing his Alex Ovechkin jersey?
Yes. Do you think there's any chance he can go on a heater and score 7 goals in the next 2.5 games, and be a goal or two away on Saturday afternoon against the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers?
There's one guy who can do it. It's him.
Alex Ovechkin, his chase of the great one, is scored by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Yeah, Caps with a big win. Listen, San Jose is a very young team. They are rebuilding. They've got some good young talent. They will be better. But the Capitals jumped on them with a 3-0 start and never really let their foot off the gas pedal. I mean, they teetered for a little bit, 3-1, and then phew.
Yeah, it was a get-right game.
Yeah, and Tommy Wilson had the big fight.
Oh, pummeling.
And just pummeled the guy. I forget who he fought, but that triggered a couple of fights. And the Caps were a little bit feisty after getting blanked last Thursday night in Los Angeles against the Kings and their former goaltender, Darcy Kemper. So, again, they come home tomorrow night against the Red Wings, 32-29-6. They struggled to beat the Wings just a couple of weeks ago at Capital One Arena. Took a big third period, a couple of shorthanded goals by Protas and I think Tom Wilson in that third period on a Friday night to win that game. After a bad start, I think they were down 2-0 in that game just about a week and a half or so ago. So it'll be interesting, again, after a long enough road trip, a week out on the West Coast. Teams don't always perform well in that first game back. You know, you're kind of let your guard down a little bit. You know, you're back home with the kids. Maybe you're not getting as good a sleep, what have you. You're not hanging out with the guys, all that stuff. It's more about family, you know, that type of thing. But hopefully, Alex, you know, can listen. I mean, I ain't going to lie. I'd love to be there. You know, the one thing about the goal the other day, and you heard John, you know, on the call, the shot from Ferravari, I mean, he finds the space. Yeah, I'm watching it now. It's on the replay. I mean, he's just like angling wide of the net. And he had made the pass, right? And he gets around the defender and he finds the open space to redirect the shot. Like, he not only makes the pass, but he also gets around the defender and to find the open space and then properly deflects it in. One trick pony, I guess.
Thank you to our friends at Monumental for timing it perfectly with this segment. I appreciate that.
There you go. Absolutely. Appreciate that very much indeed. So congratulations to the Great Eight. He is, again, 8 away from being the greatest one of all time. And we will keep you busy tracking that with our friends at Main Street Bank. And, of course, you can hear tomorrow night's game on 106.7. The Fan, while you hear the Nationals and the Astros here tomorrow night on the Team 980 at 6 o'clock. Tonight, we have the Wizards late night after talking Terps and a little bet MGM. You have the Wizards looking for win number 3 in a row in Portland against Denny Avdija and the Portland Trailblazers. Who beat the Wizards not too long ago here at Capital One Arena. All right, so there you have that. Thanks to Jim Bowden as well. Good spot with him. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I think, you know, because of the Mets injuries, I'm very hesitant to pick them. I think the best and safest move, and, you know, again, we don't know what Acuna is going to be, right? They gave a bunch of money to Reynaldo Lopez, who finally delivered last year. You know, is he going to be the same? They brought in Jerickson Profar, who has killed the Nationals, by the way. When I saw that, I was like, oh, God, they're going to take him on. What is it, 13 times, 14 times? They don't play the NL. They don't play the same division teams 18, 19 times anymore. I think it's, yawning. I don't sleep good at night. Got a lot on my mind. 13, 14 times, whatever it is. Maybe it rotates depending on the schedule. I forget. Either way, Jerickson and Proforest hurt the Nationals from what I remember anytime they've gone against San Diego. So that'll be interesting to see how that kind of goes. Look, you know, Bowden, again, a little less optimistic, I guess is what you would say, but I think he looks at it as progress. If you go from 71 wins each of the last 2 years to 75 wins. So we will see. Let's squeeze in our guy, Athan in Annapolis, here to close things up on a Monday before Dumb Dumb of the Day. What up, Double A? How are you?
I'm great. You know, and you mentioned the Caps and how close Ovechkin is getting, but isn't there some, like, brand there at the station that should have all these connections to get us tickets? So if it's a home game when he breaks it, that, like, all of us can go? Or is that just a fraud?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about somebody with a brand, he has no connections. If you're talking about me... If you're talking about me, there's a slight outside chance that I might be able to shake somebody down for something. You know, crack them at the knees. Take a little axe to knees. By the way, real quickly, did you realize that the brand, when I walked into the studio today, the brand had changed everything around and selfishly, as usual, did not turn it back because he says... That's not his job. So he screwed my preparation by being the brand because he doesn't care about putting the studio back the way it was when he found it.
Well, again, and that goes into my next point. That's why you're the Varsity, and he's been downgraded to Pop Warner and may even go further than that into the depths of hell. Because, listen, you know, Paulie got me good on your show the other day. Paulie got me good because he said he was going to send Chapstick in because I kiss your ass
yes,
all the time. But listen, but I challenge anybody out there, okay, to go find another radio program where you're going to get to call in and have real dialogue with the host. And that's why I call you the Varsity. It's not because I agree with you all the time. You and I would disagree for forever and a day about the name and
yes,
some other
we do.
Things.
Yeah.
But you know what? But at the end of the day, you get to have dialogue with Paulie, with Dr. Sabah, with me, and legends like John from Oklahoma, straight gangster. Mm. Love that guy. Old school, you know, tells it the way it is.
Oh, I agree.
So I'll wrap it up with this. Hey, Max, are you there?
Of course. I'm always here, Athan.
Okay, Max, listen. I hold Matt Essick in the highest regard, and I have to tell
you, as you should.
You are doing great things down there. You're doing great things down at their station. You got good dialogue when you pick on people like Paulie or whatever. But I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
I'm serious about this.
Sure.
I'm the Greek mob.
I know
Greek
you are.
Mob, okay? Are you afraid of Linnell?
No, he's a good friend of mine.
That's unfortunate.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. Yeah, my condolences on that, by the way. Okay, but see, here's what I want you to do. Okay, when he's on next time, you play different music. Okay, you're the producer. Let him play his little "I'm coming out to my WWE song" and my brand and all this other BS that doesn't exist. Okay, and then hit him with some Biggie. Hit him with some Eminem. Hit him with some 80s music. Play even like symphony orchestra music. I don't care.
Oh.
Change the music. You're in charge.
You're
in charge, okay?
I wish
I
were.
If you need my backup, do it. But there's no other person. Listen, CK's got me on speed dial if he needs me.
I'm sure he does. I'm also going to give you permission to just do it.
All right.
Just forget about
it. Let's hope he's not listening.
Forget about him getting upset. Hey, Double A, real quickly before you go, pick a game or two for me. Number 5 seed, Michigan, winners of the Big Ten against number 12, UC San Diego, whoever the hell they are, on Thursday night at 10 o'clock in Denver. Who you got?
Got to go with Big Blue.
All right. That's where I figured you would go. And
good choice.
Another game, staying in the South bracket, the 8-9, Louisville, Creighton, Thursday afternoon, first game up, Lexington, Kentucky. Who you got?
We're going with Creighton.
All right. And the upset there, Creighton for double A. Gotcha, baby. Thank you as always, my friend. Good to hear from you. And
you got it.
Happy 316 day yesterday, by the way.
You know it, brother.
Austin,
you know
316
it.
Says, I just whooped your ass. Appreciate
you know it, brother.
I should have worn my vest yesterday that you got me. I appreciate you, man. My guy, Athens and Annapolis. Not Austin and Annapolis. That's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Correct. But
sometimes I conflate the two and call him Austin and Annapolis because he's Stone Cold Steve Austin guy. And he got me the original signed leather Stone Cold Steve Austin vest.
That's badass.
Yeah, absolutely. My guy. Ethan takes good care of the show. Appreciate him. Dumb Dumb of the Day coming up next before we turn things over to Craig Hoffman on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping things up here on a Monday. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Again, don't forget the Wizards tonight, late night here on the Team 980. God, my computer stinks. I just lost my story.
What have we done? The internet in this building. It's making us
I'm
even later.
I'm trying to find it.
This is what happens.
Here, I'm going to find it in a sec. Yes, here it is. I think I found it. Yes, here it is. Fire the music.
I have my hand on the wrong mouse.
Oops.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
We're full of mistakes here today.
That we are.
From the New York Post, an eatery forced to compensate 4,000 guests.
Oh.
After drunk teenagers urinate into broth. Not a brothel, broth. In China. Video, drunk teenagers forcing the eatery, a well-known, very popular, extremely popular with 1,000 restaurants worldwide, hot pot restaurant, if those of you that have been to that. It's the biggest hot pot chain in China. They did this in late February in a private dining room of a restaurant. The employees working that night failed to stop the teenagers, claimed they weren't alerted to the nasty situation until 4 days later, according to CNN, then got noticed, and they didn't. The restaurant chain didn't find out until earlier this month, March 6th. So, basically, at this restaurant chain, patrons use their own personal hot pot to cook their food. Right? So they're not sure if anyone actually consumed the urine-laden meal. However, it does remain unclear whether or not the hot pot that the teens used to pee in was properly disinfected before being given to the next customer. So they had to reimburse 4,000 customers. And replace all the dining utensils and hot pot equipment. Hello!
Truly vile.
Ding dong! That does it. That's about as bad as we can get.
Yeah, you can't go much lower than that.
No. I'll just say goodbye. Thanks to Jim Bowden. Thanks to all who called and listened and participated. Thanks to Mad Max. We'll see you on Wednesday, right?
Yes, you will.
Look forward to it. Have fun in Dunedin.
Always.
Craig Hoffman up next. Adios.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.